That's literally a report from the ground. Isn't that great? What a great thing that we get to help support that. I mean, that story of Moses. I mean, like, if we could just change one life like that, like, what an impact on the community. And there's so much more going on through Hungry for Life and through Lori and through other team members. Thanks, Jordan. Can we give it up for our global outreach team who are serving us in so many great ways? So we're talking about mission this morning, and I want to say this right off the bat. God loves mission. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves mission. You guys didn't seem very convinced, but maybe I convince you. When we hear the word mission in the context of church, many of us instinctively think of airplanes, passports, and far-off places. And we think of people who are specially called, specially brave, specially wired. But what if mission is not just over there? What if mission is right here and there and everywhere? What if missions isn't just a department of the church, but the very heartbeat of God? This morning, I want to take a few minutes and just share a biblical vision of global mission that is larger and broader and more beautiful than we often imagine. A vision where mission is personal and local and global. It's partnership, and it's for all of us. And as we do, I want to anchor this in our calling as a church. Our mission, as Jordan shared already, is to bring the healing, hope, and compassion of Jesus to our neighborhoods and beyond. Now, that phrase neighborhoods and beyond comes right out of the biblical story. Mission is how God's heart is wired. We see mission begins in Genesis 1. From the beginning, God has been moving outward in love. Creation itself is an act of generous mission. Calling Abraham was mission. Genesis 12:3. God's promise to Abraham is, through you, all nations on the earth will be blessed. Israel was chosen not as a private club, but as a light to the nations. And then Jesus comes. And in John 20:21, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The Father sends the Son sends the Spirit, and the Spirit sends the church. God is a sending God. Mission flows from the very nature of God. Old Testament scholar Christopher H. White wrote, it's not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission. So Jesus sends us personally. Let's hear the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Notice Jesus did not say, some of you go. He just said to the church, go. Mission is not optional Christianity. It is simply what following Jesus looks like. But here's how we, I think, sometimes shrink it. We think go means leave. But in the original Greek, the sense is closer to as you are going. In other words, as you are going to work, and as you are parenting, and as you are coaching your kids' soccer team, and as you are at the gym, and as you are commuting to work, and as you are studying, and as you are retired, and as you are walking your dog, you are sent. You're not just a teacher. You're a sent teacher. You're not just an engineer. You're a sent engineer. You're not just a salesperson. You're a sent salesperson. You're not just a neighbor. You're a sent neighbor. Years ago, Stuart Briscoe, the scholar, asked a young woman what she did for a living. And she replied, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, very skillfully disguised as a machine operator. Mission is deeply personal. The question is not, are you called? The question is, where are you sent? And Jesus clarifies this in Acts 1:8, some of his last words to his church. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So notice the pattern. Jerusalem was their home base. Judea was the surrounding region. Samaria were culturally different neighbors. Ends of the earth, that's everywhere else. That's the globe. But mission expands in circles. It starts here, and for us that means our literal neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, our coffee shops, our sports teams, our gaming communities. Here's a thought. If we like the idea of global mission, of like making sure that people who don't have water get water, if we like that idea, but somehow ignore our own street, we've misunderstood Jesus. Hillside, part of our calling is to bring the healing, hope, and compassion of Jesus to our neighborhoods. That means, and we were really intentional when we actually chose this. It used to be to the Tri-Cities. Then we realized that many of us don't live in the Tri-Cities, you know. And so then we would just start adding like Pitt Meadows, you know. We'd throw Maple Ridge in there, Surrey, like Burnaby. Like we realized Tri-Cities didn't fit. So what's a good replacement for Tri-Cities? And we thought your neighborhood, like where you live, wherever you live, your neighborhood. We're a neighborhood church, your condo, the place where you spend most of your life. For most of us, I think mission looks like three words: hospitality, generosity, and presence. Mission is as simple as a coffee shared, a conversation initiated, a prayer offered, a need noticed, being present and loving wherever you are. We have a retired Hillsider who goes on long walks in the neighborhood. He actually walks in my neighborhood, so I see this guy in action quite often. They're long walks, not because the walk is long, but because he takes a long time to walk them. And really, it's about the time he takes to chat with neighbors and friends that he's made along the way. He said that when he goes away on a vacation, when he comes back, his walk can take him up to 5 hours because everyone wants a catch-up from this guy. It's amazing. But what this fellow has is what I've observed. He's got a ministry of listening. Along the way, he listens to people. I actually think that's probably one of the greatest needs in our culture right now is people who would listen. That's his expression of the ministry and mission of Jesus, is listening to the neighbors who are around in his neighborhood. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Sometimes we as a church can focus on there and forget that the Spirit has already placed us here. And so really the first question is, how can we live missionally right where we are, right where God has put you? How could you live missionally there? That said, mission is also there, because it doesn't stop here. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Revelation 7:9 gives us the end of the story. A great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne of God. As I've said already, God's heart is global. He's not just building local congregations. He's gathering a multi-ethnic, multilingual church family. The church has always been sent outward from Jerusalem to Antioch, from Antioch to Asia Minor, to across Europe and across oceans. And today the mission continues. There are still people groups with little or no access to the good news of Jesus. There are places that the name of Jesus is not even known. As Jordan told us about this wonderful partner of ours who are working in local communities to translate scripture so that they have God's word to them, God's encouragement, something that we take far too much for granted. They're getting a New Testament for the very first time in their language, in their mother tongue. How good is that? I love that we get to do that, especially as we do it in thoughtful and culturally sensitive ways, which we know they do. And then I think of my aging mother and her participation in mission. My mom is getting up there in age, but 30 some odd years ago, just when my mom and dad were on the verge of retirement, they were walking in their local park in Hamilton, Ontario. And as they were walking in this park, they met two Iranian men, two young adults, really. And they struck up a conversation, which led to an invite to my parents' home. And they had them actually not just for a meal, but I think for a number of meals. And to this day, my dad's been long gone now, but my mom still hears, especially from one of the fellows, even though they don't live in Canada anymore, she hears from these two. But most importantly, the Holy Spirit did a number on my mother's heart. And she began praying for the people and for the nation of Iran. She's prayed daily for the nation of Iran and the people of Iran for 30 plus years. And when I say daily, I mean every single day. If you want to make my mother anxious, take away her prayer time. Like, she really, it's such a rhythm in her life. And then when we consider the reality now that Iran is one of the fastest growing churches in the world right now. Like, we're only hearing one storyline right now, but the church in Iran has exploded in growth. And people are coming to Christ in great numbers. And we see the evidence of that in our own community as we see Persians find Jesus and pledge their allegiance to him. It's such an amazing thing. And I think how my mother, who seemingly in her elderly years doesn't have much to offer, is like she's praying in a corner in her room that nobody knows, and she's interceding on behalf of a people. And I think my mom's prayers have been answered in so many ways in that nation. How good is that? And again, she does it without even leaving her apartment. Part of our obedience to Jesus when it comes to mission is just lifting our minds above ourselves. Global mission reminds us the kingdom of God is bigger than Canada, right? It's bigger than any denominations. It's bigger than our preferences. And when we pray for global workers and when we partner with them and support them and partner financially and relationally, prayerfully, we participate in something that is far larger than ourselves. I would say this, not everyone is called to relocate, but everyone is called to participate. And mission is everywhere through partnership. Here's something beautiful about the New Testament. Paul never worked alone. You ever notice that? There were churches sending him. There were supporters funding him. There were co-workers traveling with him. We read this all throughout Paul's letters, how the church in Philippi partnered with Paul financially. And they saw him as a tent maker, but they didn't want him to be making tents anymore, so they funded him so he could be a messenger. That the church in Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark, and local believers opened up their homes. Mission has always been about partnership, and that matters for us because some are called to go, some are called to give, some are called to pray, some are called to host, some are called to mobilize, but all are called. We're not spectators in mission. We are participants. When Hillside partners with ministries locally, food banks, refugee sponsorship, ministries like Journey Home, schools, pregnancy centers, we're extending the reach of Jesus in our neighborhood. When we support global workers and global ministries, we are present alongside with them. Alongside Lifewater Canada, we've added three new ministry partnerships this year. Alpha Canada and their ministry across Canada of sharing the good news of Jesus. We see an alignment with Alpha, and we wanted to get behind their good work. The Pastorate, which is a ministry that was started by Jason Ballard, who grew up in this church, who now is probably one of the most influential Christian leaders in Canada, and his vision is to support pastors across our nation and believes that encouraged pastors changes the nature of churches and those churches then impact their communities. I love that we're partnering with the pastorate, a ministry that I volunteer with. And then New Story, which is a ministry started by Cheryl and Mark Buchanan, and that is a recovery and discipleship program of indigenous women. And I love what they do, and you've heard from Mark and Cheryl here over the years, but I'm excited about these partnerships. And as I said, through their ministries, we are present through them. So mission is not either or, it's here and there. So let me bring this together. A healthy church, I think, holds three dimensions in tension. Personal mission. You are sent as a follower of Jesus. You're living as a sent follower of Jesus wherever you are and wherever you live. You're on mission. Secondly, local mission. That's us, and I'd say us because I think this is often better done as a community, together loving and serving our neighborhoods with the good news of Jesus through both word and deed. And then thirdly, global mission, sending workers and partnering with ministries beyond our borders. If we only emphasize personal witness and evangelism, I'd say we actually shrink the scope of what we're called to do. If we only emphasize global missions, we outsource obedience. If we only emphasize local justice, we forget the global harvest of people meeting Jesus. But when all three come together, we reflect the full heart of God here, there, and everywhere, our neighborhoods and beyond. And I want to encourage you with this. Mission is not just another burden to carry. It is an invitation for you to participate in what God is already doing in the world. The Spirit is already at work in your workplace. Did you know that? He's already got a mobilized effort in your workplace, and He's placed you there strategically. Doesn't matter what your work is, your presence in that place matters. He's already stirring hearts on your street. He's already moving in nations you may never visit. Mission is about joining Him, and something happens in us when we live that way. Our faith deepens, and our prayers widen, and our generosity grows, and our fears shrink. I would say a self-focused church becomes anxious and inward, whereas a mission-shaped church becomes alive because we discover that Christianity is not about our consumption, but about our participation in the good news of Jesus. Yeah, preach it. What might this look like for us? Let me make this practically. Personally, who has God placed in your life right now? Just take a thought for a moment. Who is kind of in your circle, right? What would it look like for you intentionally to pray for one specific person this month? One person that you're kind of already connected to, neighbor, workmate, classmate, just praying for one person. That might be your assignment today. To initiate one conversation, to practice one act of intentional hospitality. Is there someone you could invite to one of our Easter services? Is there someone you could invite to Alpha or to a family film night or to an English learning lab? And locally, what are the needs in our neighborhoods? I mean, think about it. What are the needs in our community? Loneliness, mental health struggles, addiction, food security. Newcomers needing friendship, practical support. I would say if you're looking for low-hanging fruit in our community, we have so many new Canadians who would be so encouraged by your friendship. I think of my mom's example and the fruit that's born in her life. Why not think about how you might serve and pray? You might even simply pray, Lord, open my eyes to the needs around me. That could be the prayer you pray. We keep on asking this as a church, how we can embody the healing hope and compassion of Jesus together. Last weekend, Sandra, who directs our Share Food Bank on Wednesdays, Sandra Hustler and her husband and Angel and I got to represent Hillside at the Share Gala the food bank gala and once again got to point people to the fact that the church is involved in a very real need in our community. It is no small thing that we are feeding hungry people Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday. What a beautiful honor to participate in that kind of mission and to plant our flag in the fact that we love our neighborhood. By the way, I had a picture yesterday that I thought was of our church, that we are like a fountain, you know, like that we're a fountain, like a spring, and water is springing up, and it's meeting real needs and nourishing and blessing people in our community. I love that picture. Globally, who are we praying for beyond our borders? What workers and ministries are we partnering with? How might God stir some of us to go short term or long term? What if we became known not just as a friendly church, but as a sent church? You know, our elders over this last year have been dreaming and scheming about mission a lot. And at times, I think we've been guilty at Hillside of treating mission like silos. You know, we over there, you know, here. And we've really struggled to figure out how to organize this. And we've just kind of actually blowing it up a bit in recent months and saying we're going to try and experiment so that we can actually have a more integrated mission. We're not going to just think about how we're reaching over there. We're seeing how God is sending the nations here. How are we responding in our own community to the many cultures that are coming to Canada? And so please bear with us as we continue to experiment with that. And I'm excited about how this moves us ahead as a church with more of an integrated sense of mission, an umbrella over all of these areas that we sometimes have separated. I'm looking forward to that. We want to continue to mobilize global workers. We want to very much send out short-term mission teams. And we're so grateful that we got to send our Quebec team. It's such a good thing. And we're going to press into that. But most of all, we're going to pay attention to the ways in which the Holy Spirit leads, because he's already working, and we want to get in on what he wants us to do in the world. Does that sound like a plan? Here's the most important part. Mission doesn't begin with guilt. It begins with grace. We go because we've been loved. We bring healing because we've been healed. We offer hope because we've received hope. We extend compassion because Christ has extended compassion to us. The cross is the ultimate mission moment. Jesus was sent for us, and now in gratitude we go, not to earn love, but because of it. Let me close with this image. Imagine our church as a gathered people every Sunday, but scattered the rest of the week like seeds. Seeds in our schools, in our offices, in our construction sites, in our homes, our hospitals, our coffee shops, neighborhoods, and in the nations. Here, there, and everywhere. Hillside, our mission is not small. Our mission is to bring the healing, hope, and compassion of Jesus to our neighborhoods and beyond. And so may we be a people who live sent, love locally, partner globally, pray expectantly, go courageously. And may the day come when in Revelation 7 we see people from every nation worshiping Jesus and we realize that we had a small, faithful part to play. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. I'm going to invite the team to come on up. Jesus, this morning, thank you for your heart of mission. It's why we're here today, is because, Jesus, you mobilized a church that mobilized your message of good news throughout the whole world. And we're here because somebody went. Somebody spoke boldly and courageously. Somebody overcame fear. Somebody generously gave. Somebody prayed. And I thank you for the ways you've opened up the good news of Jesus to us. And we're so grateful, God. And we want to pray, Lord, that we might inhabit and live out your mission wherever we are. Friends, I sense God wants to commission you. Maybe this is your Isaiah moment this morning. Isaiah had a moment with God where he prayed a simple prayer, where he said, "Here am I, send me." Maybe this morning, and again, don't think about geography right now. Think about you being sent wherever you are. Start there. We're always called to serve on our street far before we're ever called to serve anywhere else in the world. Maybe this morning, if that's you, you want to pray this prayer. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Why don't you open up your hands to him and pray that in your own heart? Say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go. Give me courage, God. Give me faith to believe that I have something to offer." Lord, I pray that this morning you would change our imaginations, like affect our imaginations, so that we might actually see the world differently. That we might gain your heart for the world. Thank you, Lord. We respond to your call today. Lead us, we pray.